everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you in the driver's seat, and my buddy Tom Fairbanks on the other side of the glass, keeping everything on track for our hour, which is loaded with content as usual. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. Here we go. Thursday, December the 12th, 2024. So now Christmas is less than 2 weeks away. So we'll begin our 15th year, break out the champagne in January with the Buckmaster Radio Show. We're in the Bustos Media Complex, where we have five radio stations now under one roof. This one's 1030 KVOI, The Voice. We are in the Green Thing, Zocalo Village Studio. We have our worldwide live listening. You can listen to our program at buckmastershow.com. I'm very proud of the fact that we've got pretty much every show that we've done over the last 14 years at buckmastershow.com. The search engine is really easy to use. Just put in the name of the newsmaker, and that program will pop up. The Buckmaster Live Line for our telephone interviews, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Once a month here, we talk about one of my favorite topics, that's travel and air travel. Specifically, Brian Kidd is here. Brian is the Deputy Chief of Strategic Marketing and Air Service Development. So he's the guy we can thank for new air service. Or maybe we can blame you, Brian. I don't know.
Let's thank the community for flying us. That's how we get more.
That's how we get more, right? Brian Kidd with us. Always good to see you, Brian. All right, you guys really gearing up for a big holiday season. How was the Thanksgiving weekend? Nationwide, we set all sorts of records.
We sure did. Busiest day ever through TSA. That Sunday after Thanksgiving, it was the busiest day for TUS since 2008. We had almost 8,000 people depart TUS and almost equal amount coming back. So it was our high water mark. That may be the high for the whole season, actually. So the next big holiday push will be starting up in exactly a week, and we'll continue all the way to January 5th, but any one day in there is not necessarily a peak day. There's a lot of very busy days, but we are sure you'll find things to be much smoother at TUS than your alternate airport up north.
Yeah, I know people still say, I'll go up to Phoenix. And I always point out the fact that, no, I'll stick with my local airport. First of all, I do not like the drive up to Phoenix. I don't think I'm alone in that regard.
You're not.
You get to Phoenix, then you deal with the whole parking issue, and that, you know, I was going to touch on that, Brian, kind of later in our interview, but since I've brought it up, you guys are rolling out a new system, parking system.
It is. It's actually going to look
reservation system, right?
Correct. The whole system, including the gates and everything else, have been redone. It will, frankly, look and feel a lot like Phoenix's. It's the same vendor, but we're trying to put our own personal touches on it. And of course, when you go in there to actually book your reservation, you're going to see that the prices are a lot cheaper than they are in Phoenix. So.
Well, that's what I was going to say. You know, the most expensive parking at TIA is about one-third of what you would pay. Let's say you're going to do same-day parking, or you're going to, like, you've got a weekend trip. You want to be as close as possible to the airport. You're going to pay probably at least double to three times what you would pay out at TIA.
For the close-in?
At TUS.
Yeah, for the close-in next to the terminal, it is indeed three times as much as Phoenix.
Yeah, so what are you going to change the way, the layout of the parking at all?
No pricing change. Hopefully we just make it, for people that like to book ahead, it'll be a easier experience. And you'll know you'll have a spot at these busy times, because it is, we are pretty full in the parking lot, so it doesn't hurt to make a reservation. But those we're really going to get that up and rolling in January. So for now, it's business as usual. Just come in and park and pay. If you're on a peak day, we'll have capacity in some lot. It'll just be a matter of whether our garage fills up or our hourly fills up. So there'll be a spot somewhere.
So you're looking at These numbers really look impressive for the holiday season. I think you're looking at about 259,000 passengers that will utilize TUS. So, and then you expect there'll probably be one busy day in there, maybe between Christmas and New Year's.
Could be the Sunday after Christmas, so the 29th may be the absolute peak day. But in all honesty, all of those days are going to be pretty busy, except for Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, New Year's Eve, and New Year's Day. All the others are consistently busy. I will say we do have, as you may have, for those of you that listened last time, and we still have quite a bit of extra capacity available for you.
Yeah, I wanted to talk on that because we touched on it last month. And by the way, last month's session was really interesting with the fire chief out there at TUS. And we had his counterpart on our Friday Focus interview last Friday. And I mentioned some of the items we had talked about, you know, the new truck they're expecting and all that stuff. But you talked about the capacity. This is a little bit unusual this holiday season. So if somebody's thinking, you know, I've got some time off, maybe I want to take a quick trip over to LA, maybe I want to take a trip to Denver or somewhere, you might be surprised at the price point and that there is capacity, or when we say capacity, means there's seats available.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. If you're flexible on your dates and you're depending on the destination, I mean, we have extra flights to Dallas, Denver, Chicago, Portland, Oregon. And, of course, through those hubs, you can get to almost anywhere, really. And so if you're flexible on your dates and you're just trying to, let's take a quick trip and see the family, just in the middle of this somewhere. And you can.
And maybe you were thinking, well, I don't think I could afford it. But Then you go on and you see, well, maybe the price is, you know, the way airlines make money, they put folks, you got to be in the seat.
Yes, they don't want to
so
fly.
So the flight takes off without every seat occupied. Somebody's not making as much money as you could.
And they're watching how the flight books up. And if they see that, oh, this flight has, you know, 30 extra seats available or 30 empty seats available a week out, well, the airline may leave some of those lower price points available closer in than normal. And so that's why I'm saying it might be worth your while to at least check and see if something's available that would be surprisingly reasonable.
Yeah, and folks know I love travel, and I know a lot about the industry, and it is amazing how if you go for a particular destination, you'll check one day and then you'll check back the next day and you'll think, you know, I saw a really good fare yesterday, but at the time I didn't lock in because I'll think it over. You go back the next day, Brian Kidd, and you're saying, well, now it's like out of my price range.
Right. Every airline is looking at every flight and how it's booking up is the phrase, and so their software is constantly adjusting price points, and it's all a dynamic
process.
It's a
minute by minute thing, isn't it? The software is adjusting
nowadays. It is. Yeah. It used to be you had to file fares 3 days, you had three times a day, and it was a manual process. Now it's practically in real time. I mean, there are still what we call fare buckets, but there's so many of them now that it looks like it's just a dynamic pricing system.
So, I mean, TUS had the highest seat capacity growth percentage of any West Coast airport. It was like 16%. Was that for last year or this year?
That was for Thanksgiving.
And for Thanksgiving.
So really from last September all the way through April, we're going to see these double-digit increases. We're right in the middle of it, and that's leading the pack. That's because, again, we produced a lot of we had a lot of demand, which led to high profitability for our airlines last year, and so they rewarded us with these extra seats. So we're hoping that we'll be able to take advantage of that. I mean, It's a big jump, and it's hard to really absorb all that, but I'm hoping this will allow more of our local travelers and our visitors to not have to resort to Phoenix.
And that website is FlyTUS.
FlyTucson.com.
FlyTucson.com. Okay, when we come back with Brian Kidd in segment number two, going to go over some of these destinations. Got some new service coming on board. And, of course, Brian, you hear it. You're out in the community every day. Why don't we get more air service? Well, you summed it up, I think, at the beginning of the program. You want better air service, fly out of Tucson, right?
That is the way it works. Airlines will add flights where people take flights.
That's it. All right. Well, let's talk about my favorite bakery, Brian. How was your Thanksgiving? Did you have a
pie? but delicious.
Did you have a particular dessert?
Cherry pie.
Okay.
Cherry pie.
All right.
It was right on point.
Steve and the team up at Mona's Danish Bakery, that is one of their, I've had their cherry pie. It's outstanding. Of course, they do all the traditionals they'll do the pecan and they'll do pumpkin for your Christmas, either Christmas Eve, you want a nice dessert, or Christmas Day. Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle. I saw Steve and the team over the weekend, and they said, Bill, please remind the listeners that we have wonderful Christmas cookies, and they have them all ready to go. They're in a little container, and it's great variety. There must be like a dozen different types of Christmas cookies up at Mona's Danish Bakery, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. We send so many of our listeners up there, and so when you're up there, say hi to Steve and the team at Mona's Danish Bakery, and just mention that, hey, Bill Buckmaster sent me. I'd appreciate it, and so would the team up at Mona's. We'll be right back with Brian Kidd talking about air service out at Tucson International Airport. Be right back. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Take the Regional Transportation Authority's brief survey of its draft $2.46 billion Regional Transportation Plan. The 20-year RTA Next Draft Plan includes roadway, transit, safety, bicycle, pedestrian, and environmental improvements for the greater Tucson region. The RTA Board will consider your feedback before it prepares a final draft for voter consideration as early as November 2025. We invite you to take our brief survey at rtanext.com.
Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
Are you ready to immerse yourself in a diverse culture while wandering through bustling markets, sampling exotic cuisines, or forging connections with people from all walks of life? Well, Bon Voyage Travel is here to plan your perfect journey. Whether you're setting off on a solo expedition, embarking on a group adventure, or simply dreaming of far-off destinations, we can help create your custom experience. The road ahead is filled with endless possibilities. Visit bvtravel.com to find your specialized Bon Voyage Travel advisor today.
Family-owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. When we do our telephone interviews, Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management is our live line sponsor, and we thank them. We thank all of our sponsors, including Tucson International Airport. Once a month, we talk about what's going on at TUS, and there's a ton of stuff going on. And now I want to get into some of the specifics with Brian Kidd, who very much instrumental, of course, in bringing air service here. In fact, in his title, he's Deputy Chief of Strategic Marketing and Air Service Development. So in other words, he knows all the players in the business, and he works really hard, travels to try to, you know, meet with the air carriers and say, hey, what about Tucson? And of course, Brian, sometimes you run into roadblocks. Well, we serve Phoenix. Well, what about Tucson? So what, you know, what's your elevator pitch? If you had 30 seconds, what do you say to the carriers?
Well, it's a little esoteric because, you know, they deal in numbers and data and so forth. So when we talk about highest fares and highest load factors, that gets them excited. I mean, that's not a, it's a status that not too many airports can talk about often. And we've been fortunate enough to be able to use that for the last year. It may not last forever, but we did see the results. The airlines did notice that, and they did give us more flights and more service. So it does work, but the demand has to come from the community and from the visitors, and they, it happened, and they saw it. Now there's no guarantee that that's going to last forever, but we definitely have held up. I mean, domestically, carriers have been scaling back. The international has really been the profit story lately, and will continue to be in 2025. But you know, we're all domestic, but we are holding up much better than many of the other airports in terms of retaining and growing that capacity.
And we are growing. You got Sacramento coming on board, Sacramento International Airport. That airline code is SMF. So I always am intrigued by airline codes. What would that have been, do you think? Sacramento Municipal Field?
There is a history to that. So, I think it's something along
those lines. I love the history
lines.
with these airport codes. Yes, probably Sacramento Municipal Field. But anyway, the new route will be operated Alaska, which likes Tucson, which is good news because Alaska's growing. They've got their merger with Hawaiian Air and all sorts of international capacity that they're going to be pumping out from their home headquarters at SeaTac in Seattle. So Alaska will fly to Sacramento, a new run, and Southwest as well?
On weekends only, yes.
Okay.
And Southwest is going to continue it through the summer. Alaska's will end seasonally in April.
But they're daily through April.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. Yep, daily service. They're also, Orange County is also back for this winter. That starts
next
week.
John Wayne Airport.
Correct. So that's another option for you for California, nonstop. And these are seasonal. Alaska, you know, we're not that seasonal on market, but Alaska thinks that our season ends in late April, no matter how much I tell them. It really keeps going. We have people, you know, trying to get out of town.
There are people living here,
yeah.
Beyond, you know, April.
Yeah.
And we are somewhat seasonal. And I know one of your, on your resume is Palm Springs International Airport. And that's much more seasonal, right?
It is. They had the luxury of having a couple of really big events, which Alaska is partnering with them on in music events in March and April called Coachella and
yes,
Stagecoach. And I wish we had something like that of that magnitude here, but we're not We're not quite not quite there yet, but someday we'll have an airline sponsor something in Tucson, and that would be great.
So it is good news, though, that certainly in the winter you can get over to Orange County, because a lot of people, you know, they want to go to Orange County, but they don't necessarily want to take, you know, fly into San Diego, then rent a car, and then about hour and a half, depending on traffic. It could be longer, but to get up to Orange County. I love some of those areas around Orange County. I love that, the Mission, San Juan, Capistrano. Oh, my goodness. Love it. And I've done that trip to go up to the Mission. You know, you drive up from San Diego. And if you try to go from L.A., it's a nightmare with traffic, Brian. So this is good. You get right into Orange County.
Yeah, any of those alternate L.A. airports would be great. I wish some other carriers would try something other than LAX, but at least we have Orange County.
Yep.
And our goal is to make that year-round. So we have to show profitability on what we have now, and then we did earn it back for a second winter, so the next goal is to extend the season.
Okay, my hometown, Chicago, O'Hare, that is, United is going to go back in with a daily departure. Of course, Americans had service continues to have service.
United is the one that's really picked up the ball on that and expanded service. We even have a red eye Chicago over the holidays, which
really
might be an option for somebody. Speaking of that flexibility, on the peak days, they have an 11:59 p.m. departure out of TUS to O'Hare.
Ooh, that harkens back to my days in college when I would take the red eye back to Chicago for some weekend parties, actually. But that was not on United. I don't think United had the red eye. I know it was American.
That's right.
Because American back in the day, folks may remember, had something called a youth student fare, which was, I think it was basically the taxes. It was almost like for flying free. But anyway, I could digress, but I won't. Anyway.
Yeah, American flies it year-round, and United flies it almost year-round. They almost make it through the whole summer now. It's getting really close. Hopefully they'll just say, all right, we'll just fly it during July now and call it year-round. And then if you're a Southwest fan, they fly to Chicago Midway daily now once daily, and that continues
Midway
year-round.
The in-town airport and in Chicagoland.
For sure, and Midway is a big hub for them, and you can access their whole network east of there through Midway very easily. It's a nice airport now. So.
And now Portland, where you previously served, PDX, Portland International Airport, I took that flight that Alaska handles. I took that one in October on my way to Spokane and then over to Lake Coeur d'Alene. But I found that was a really nice flight on Alaska up to Portland. I think we made it in a little 2 hours and a half. Nice flight.
Yeah. Right. And we have two a day on the peak days through the winter here and into the spring. So that gives you a lot of flexibility. Alaska wants to make Portland more of a hub domestically. The Seattle's getting so busy and so crowded, they need to offload some of that connecting traffic to have it be served over Portland. So if you're trying to go to some other point in the Pacific Northwest, you might find that Portland flight works great for you.
Yeah, and you get a gate usually at PDX. And when I say you get a gate, if you're trying to get into Seattle these days, at certain times of the day, there's no gate available. And because especially now with their increase in international capacity, Hawaiian and Alaska have merged. They just announced they're going to be doing a nonstop over to Tokyo from SeaTac. SeaTac continues to bring in some really big carriers. Turkish Airlines is now flying nonstop Seattle to Istanbul. I would say Seattle is positioning itself as right up there with LAX for international nonstops.
Right, yep. It's SFO and Seattle. I mean, Seattle is going to be an international powerhouse, and we have good service up there on Alaska. So
yep.
Another easy way to get to Asia. You think it's out of the way, but actually it's shorter trip from Seattle than it is from LAX.
Good service. And Delta does a nice flight. I've taken that Delta flight up to SeaTac, and it's excellent. So we haven't mentioned Minneapolis. We have a lot of people from the Twin Cities that come down here in the wintertime.
Yes. Sun Country started their service even earlier this year before Thanksgiving, earliest ever. And they and Delta actually flies it daily during the peak months here. Sun Country is less than daily, but between the two of them, you've certainly got that covered. And Delta, of course, has a hub at Minneapolis that allows you to access some other destinations that maybe aren't easily easily gotten to.
International flight, you could go easily to Tucson, to Minneapolis, and then for Europe or
right.
And okay, out of time. Remember to fly local, fly TUS. Your website,
flytucson.com.
And just a little bit of advice, Brian, just get to the airport a little bit earlier for the holidays. And the other thing we want to mention, circle back, if you're thinking of a last-minute holiday trip, might be surprised. There is not going to guarantee it, but the price might be lower, and there will be some seats available.
Sure. Yeah, so look for alternate dates, be flexible, and you might be pleasantly surprised.
All right, Brian, we'll see you in January. Thank you, sir. Have a wonderful holiday season.
You too, Bill. Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much. Take a break right here. It's the Buckmaster Show, Thursday edition. Tomorrow, Friday Focus interview. We'll talk about the new legislative session. State Senator J.D. Mesnard joins Tim Steller from the Arizona Daily Star. Will be my co-media host. We do that on Fridays, and tomorrow it's Steller. Be right back after the mid-show break.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org. For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100. This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. We are in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios, Green Things 3384 East River Road by the Rito River. Those punched tin Christmas trees, that's when I was trying to describe them earlier on the air this week. I think I left out the word punched and just called them tin Christmas trees, but they're at Zocalo Village, and they're really neat. There's a light under there, and it lights up, and you've got your little tin Christmas tree, imported item from Mexico, something different for the holidays. And they've got all sorts of decorating ideas over at Zocalo Village, which is part of the business that Jan and Jack own at Green Things. They're very much hands-on owners, 13-acre site. And their website is greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com. Green Things, family-owned and operated since 1970. When we do our telephone interviews, our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. We have some 24 regular contributors to this program. So thankful for these people. They add so much to our daily content, and I'm just very privileged to have people like Dr. Robert Hendricks, a lifelong educator. He is our contributor on education. He is the former superintendent of the Flowing Wells School District, so popular, in fact, there is a Robert J. Hendricks Elementary School that is named for Dr. Hendricks over in Flowing Wells. He's associate professor emeritus and associate dean of the University of Arizona College of Education, former Arizona Superintendent of the Year. He's still very active in the Tucson community. In fact, he's the current president of the Interfaith Community Services Board of Directors. Dr. Hendricks, how are you?
I'm doing well, Bill. And yourself?
Well, you know, I wanted to, before we talk education, this is really a busy time for you and your team at Interfaith Community Services. Talk for a second at ICS about what you're doing this holiday season to really help thousands of Tucsonans and area residents have a brighter holiday season.
Well, we have four established brick-and-mortar locations throughout the city that distribute food 6 days a week. We also have a mobile food truck, kind of like the food truck concept, where it moves around from place to place, and we primarily focus on different church sites throughout the community. And people, you know, that have a network, they know where the schedule is. And then we offer on Saturdays a produce giveaway. And last week I volunteered at the produce giveaway on Northwest campus, and there were about 500 vehicles that pulled up that we provided services for, you know, within a 2-hour period.
Wow.
And we opened at 5 a.m., Bill. And I got there about 4:50, I would say. Mm-hmm. And it was amazing the number of cars that were already lined up. And someone told me the first car that was there at 3:15 in the morning.
Are you kidding? Wow.
I'm not kidding. And this is great produce. This is produce that comes it's overstock produce that comes from Mexico, California. This particular month, we had pallets upon pallets of lettuce and another stock. And for some reason, there's a great overstock of potatoes from Idaho.
Ah,
so we had a lot to give out.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. A lot to give out. And it's one of these events where people don't have to qualify at an income tiered level,
wow,
whereas the typical food bank you do, but once a month. And we'll have one the beginning of next month and several other times during the month. And all listeners have to do is get on to the ICS website, and it'll tell you where to go and the times. Just get there. We have volunteers there that will load your car for you.
Wow.
And you can just drive away. And if you have extra, we encourage you to share it with your neighbors.
Boy, that is wonderful. What a wonderful community service. And the website is ICS.org.
It's ICS Tucson.
Oh, Tucson.
.org.
Okay. I'm really glad I brought that up because I think a lot of listeners could take advantage of this. And quickly, though, for folks that were wondering, the location again?
Well, we have four locations.
Okay, four.
And the primary location is on the northwest side, which is would be around Ina and Shannon.
Okay. All right, let's talk education.
So, and again, the list of our locations are there, the times, and in terms of the regular food bank, you do have to be a Pima County resident. But that covers a great territory. So lots of opportunities there for us to help. And, you know, people are hungry beyond just Thanksgiving. So we're a year-round operation, and we want to help people all the time.
Wow, great organization. And I think you've got partners with over 120 faith communities and serve 52,000 individuals every year. So it's a good news.
And over 1,000 volunteers.
1,000 volunteers. The good news story that I'm glad we could share with the Buckmaster Show listeners. Let's try to delve into this education topic that's very concerning before we take the break. And I'll be bringing this up tomorrow with State Senator J.D. Mesnard, who will be my Friday Focus interview. Tim Steller from The Star and I will be interviewing him. And it's really half of schools in Arizona have a safety issue. Half the schools did not conduct and document all the required evacuation drills. And it just really begins, it goes on and on. We've got some real issues safety-wise with our schools, Bob.
We do. And, you know, if you look at school security, it's probably one of the number one ranked factors used by parents in choosing a school. Obviously, this needs to be a primary concern of parents. They want to know that they're dropping their kids off or that their kids are being delivered by a bus, and that for the maximum amount of time, which is a major part of their day, are in a safe environment. And so these drills, which are required by statute, are important. And we know that the recent audit suggests that when they sampled 47 schools, only four of those in that sample had actually conducted the state-required lockdown drill. And so what is this lockdown drill? I mean, we remember, I'm sure you remember, I remember, you know, the drills we had in school where we had to get underneath our desk, and there were different protocols that we did.
Duck and cover.
Yeah. Well, this is a different kind of a drill, but basically it's a drill that involves such things as making sure, practicing to lock the door from the inside, close it, making sure windows are closed, making sure that the window coverings are drawn, and moving into a designated area within the classroom, following adult hand signals, and practicing being still and quiet. I mean, there are very simple but very important procedural steps in this drill process. And then the other part of it is, if you are going to exit, how do you exit? Where do you exit? And how do you, you know, how do you proceed with that process? Mm. So these are important, and they're supposed to happen monthly. So we knew by the audit that a lot of schools are not doing this. We don't know I don't have the data to suggest that we have schools that are not doing it at all, but certainly we have schools that are not doing it on the regular basis they're supposed to. So that's going to have to be addressed. But again, these are important things and should be important things to parents to know that these things are taking place. Now, I've been thinking a bit as an educator, not as a safety expert, but as an educator as to what kinds of things parents should expect in terms of sending their students to a safe school. And when I talk about schools, Bill, I'm talking about not just public schools. I'm talking about any educational institution, because every child deserves to be safe, no matter what kind of environment they go into. But one of the basic things is a physical entity. And back in the 80s, when I was superintendent, we put a fence around Flying Wells High School.
Mm-hmm.
Not a chain link fence. It was a welded fence, 8-foot fence. And I still vividly remember people crying foul. You know, it looks like a prison. It's not going to be safe. We don't like this. Well, I don't think I won't claim to have insight into the future at that time, but find a school without a fence today.
Yeah.
Absolutely a necessity. And it's not, I used to tell people, Bill, it's not to keep kids in, it's to keep people out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's really, really important. And so it's a way that schools are able to minimize the number of entry points into the school. And by doing that, they can monitor those entrances and exits. So that's one of the things I would look for as a parent. Not only would I want an enclosed area, but I want to have apertures, exit and ingress and egress areas where it's being monitored. I'd also want to look for high resolution security cameras. And I know people don't like, some people don't like the invasion of privacy there, but this is absolutely critical. You've got to have good cameras, and they've got to be strategically placed in a number of areas. And that's very, very important. And I don't know if you need to take a break, but I've got several more things on my list.
Well, could you summarize those several more things in about 2 minutes? Then we'll take the break. And then there was another topic about the Department of Education I wanted to bring up with you. Go ahead. Conclude your remarks.
You've got to have sturdy safety locks on the inside of every door.
Okay.
And these have to be certified, approved locks that cannot, there's a sturdy frame and a good lock, and that's something that schools have to install. Public areas should have security glass installed. There's a question, and this procedure is being employed by, particularly in secondary schools, that students carry an ID or wear an ID with a photo, and that schools have adequate security personnel. They're properly trained and highly visible. The county and the city provide school resource officers, and that's a beginning, but quite honestly, that's not enough personnel to cover schools, particularly schools that have large physical plants. So schools, districts have to pay for that additional personnel. And, cost is a big factor there. And another question is, should these personnel, these trained personnel, be armed?
Mm-hmm.
Should they have guns? Should they have tasers?
Yeah.
I mean, that's an issue.
All right.
And And then we'll continue after the break.
We will continue after the break. It's the Buckmaster Show Thursday edition. Dr. Robert Hendricks, our contributor on education. I want to ask him after the break about whether or not he, what his take is on possibly abolishing the Department of Education. Be right back.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com.
Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We're also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
You can now review and comment on the Regional Transportation Authority's draft $2.46 billion regional transportation plan at one of several upcoming RTA Next open houses. The draft 20-year plan includes roadway, transit, safety, bicycle, pedestrian, and environmental improvements for the greater Tucson region. It's your plan. Tell us what you think. Learn more and find dates for an upcoming open house near you at rtanext.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The News and Sun's media reach 75% of the region through newspapers, websites, social media, video, newsletters, and more. They also produce more than a dozen print and digital magazines annually for an audience of 70,000. Find them at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, covering your hometown.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, launching into our final segment of the hour with Dr. Robert Hendricks in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studio. Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico makes a great getaway. Folks have time off over the holidays. Strongly recommend a trip over there, only about a three-hour drive east of Tucson. Tons of outdoor activities. Check out their website before you hop in the car or the truck or even on the motorcycle and then head east. The website is Southwest New Mexico, spelled out, .org. Start your planning now for a great trip over to a segment of the Land of Enchantment. Robert Hendricks is our Buckmaster Show contributor, former Arizona School Superintendent of the Year. Dr. Hendricks, we were talking about school safety, but I've only got about 5 minutes left, and I wondered if you could share with our listeners some of your thoughts about President-elect Trump talking about abolishing the federal Department of Education.
Well, President-elect Trump is not the first person to suggest that. In fact, the first person to suggest it was President Reagan.
Really?
It was not always a Department of Education. A little bit of history. It was, we can credit or we can blame, depending on your perspective, Jimmy Carter for creating this department. It used to be part of a larger department called the Department of Health, Education, and Welfare.
Really?
But Jimmy Carter segmented that off into its own Department of Education. But there's been talk for years about dismantling it. One of the reasons is that the reality is that only federal funding only accounts for about 10% of all school funding. And so the rest of the money that comes from federal funding really is what they call flow-through money. So in other words, the Department of Education takes that budget and it goes directly to the states. So the question is, why not bring it back to the states to control most of the money? Now, there are some guarantees that come from the Department of Education through Title I and IDEA, which guarantees free and appropriate education for students with special needs, and there's a variety of civil rights protections. Those have to be covered somehow. But the question would be, do we need a department to do that, or could it be folded in to say, for example, the Justice Department, which has been suggested? My opinion, Bill, I've known personally some good Department of Education directors, Secretary Riley, Secretary Bell, Secretary William Bennett, good. But there have been in between them a lot of mediocre and some that just have been ineffective. And I have to ask myself in honesty, is this something that we really need? Perhaps this will be one of the targets Mr. Musk's looking at where we can cut some dollars, because it is a very large organization, and given that it's only a 10% dispersal that they're directly involved in, maybe we can find a creative way to run that and maybe save some tax dollars.
So originally there wasn't even a Department of Education. It was part of the a health organization umbrella.
It was until Jimmy Carter.
Hmm. All right. I wanted to circle back. I've got about a minute. Did you have any further remarks about the school safety issue?
Well, I think one of the things that we have to realize is that if we're going to take this seriously, it's going to cost a lot of money. We have two local school districts, Catalina Foothills and TUSD, who have adopted a very highly technical and sophisticated way to essentially a panic button that every staff member wears that can address immediately any signs of danger. They are able to fund this with money from bonds that they have passed. It doesn't come out of their general operating budget. Some districts might not be able to afford that, but my feeling is that every district ought to have access to that technology and anything else that can provide safety for any child, no matter what situation they're in. So the state's going to have to take a look at that. And again, all the personnel that have been added besides what the city or county can provide, that has to come out of the school's operating budget. And there are some districts that cannot afford that. But again, should those students be penalized by the fact that their districts are not that wealthy or not be able to provide those kind of expenditures that other districts can?
All right, we're gonna.
We've got to face the fact that we need to be comprehensive in our look at this, and maybe that's something you can ask tomorrow about funding and.
Okay.
How schools can be on an equal playing field in something that is so critical.
Thank you, Dr. Hendricks. Bill Buckmaster, wishing everybody well.